So tonight, I want to begin by saying to you what I said to you last week. I was in the Holy Land and I came back, and of course, I wanted to celebrate this 5:30 liturgy. And it just struck me how important it is for me to have you and to love you as much as I do. Being with 325 people on a journey that was wonderful, with people from the Archdiocese, which was wonderful, and with our Archbishop, who's wonderful, all of that was good. But I felt so lonely because I hardly knew most of the people. There were a few, and we did have some time and share it together, but most were strangers to me. And you're not. And I am grateful. And I felt that in a very unique way this time. It's a little foretaste, I think, of when I finally say, ultimately and finally to you, goodbye. That will be the hardest thing in my life. It's not yet, but I know that that's the gift, and of course, always the struggle. So thank you. Our gospel tonight is very much in the very genre of what we are as a community. So it's a perfect way to start this little reflection tonight. I was thinking about, you know, the Pharisee and the tax collector and all those kinds of things that happen. And I remembered one of the greatest parts of literature that I have ever read in my life. I read it a long time ago, and I keep rereading it from time to time. It was written by a man named Thomas Merton. Now, he was in a different century than you all are. He was in the last century, and you're all this century, you know. Well, you're not all just in this century, but you're... And Thomas was one of the great writers. He was he went to Kentucky, to Louisville, and he became a monk, but he didn't start that way. He lived a pretty wild-type life and had all kinds of things flying around him, and he was very bright, and he had all kinds of different opportunities, but nothing satisfied him. There was always that quenching desire inside his, or unquenchable desire inside him for more, and he didn't know where to find it. And so he wrote Seven Story Mountain, and as a result of that, he went through this major conversion of his life, and he went into the Trappists, but it didn't just end there. He struggled all through his life. He was a mystic and a great writer of all of those incredible tomes, New Seeds of Contemplation, all of those great books. You really ought to get your hands on some of those things that he's written. And towards the end of his life, he had an affair with a nurse. He broke his leg, went into a hospital as a Trappist monk, fell in love again, and struggled with that for a while. He ultimately said he couldn't do both things. He couldn't be who he was and living something else. So he left that relationship. And just around that time, he went to Bangkok with a whole group of a variety of different life traditions that are in that mystical world. And he shoved a circuit into a socket, into a fan, and he was electrocuted and fried. He died instantaneously. So it was a tragic end of an incredible life. A modern man, a modern saint for our time, I think. So this is what he wrote. And this is one of my favorite quotes, and I hope you'll hear it tonight. He said, in Louisville, that's where he was, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, and there's a place marked where this actually took place. It's now called Martin Luther King, but it was 4th and Walnut. In the center of a shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all of these people. That they were mine and I was theirs. And that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. Never met the people before. It was like walking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation. This sense of liberation from an illusionary difference was such a relief and such a joy that I almost laughed out loud. And I suppose my happiness could have taken the form of these words. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. that I am like the other man, that I am only a man among others, only a woman among others. It is a glorious destiny. Listen to this. It is a glorious destiny to be a member of the human race. Though it is a race dedicated to many, many absurdities, and one which makes terrible mistakes, yet with all of that, listen to this, with all of that, God Himself glorified in becoming a member of the human race. In becoming a member of the human race. How about that? That's the scripture tonight. You see, my brothers and sisters, we can wake up in the morning thinking we're right and you're wrong. And we can go through the day like that. But it's a lousy day because you're fighting with everybody. But it happens to us. Arrogance can seep into our lives, even at an early age. And we become righteous, as the scripture says today. We're better than you. I'm better than you. And that's crazy. We're not better than each other. We're the same. We're all the same. We all share that incredible human condition. And every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has got some kind of craziness in our life or an addiction in our lives or a struggle in our lives. So why do we claim something different? Why can't we walk in the humility and the tolerance of life instead of these things that are pretend? They are pretend. They're crazy. Because we all struggle. We're all in this thing. It's all part of this human fabric. And we're one. So there should be no room for that. I was in the midst of a fry this week with a brother priest. And I woke up and I read this little thing from a great book I read each morning about tolerance. And trying to live in the shoes of the person. And recognizing that I'm not always right. It changed my whole perspective. Changed everything. It changed the way in which I'm relating, and a whole other thing happened. But we don't know that enough. We don't think about that enough. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you walked into a day and just gave the other person the opportunity to say, maybe you're right and I'm wrong. I got to tell you folks, I'm wrong most of the time. And I think I'm right most of the time. It's crazy. But that's how we live. So I think the heart of this community of St. Monica's, at the center of it, the thing I would hold up to you on this Sunday is tolerance. That's what you and I hope to be, claim to be, and do our best to become. That every single person that walks into those doors, or those doors, or those doors, comes to a community of faith that doesn't say, you're different. I'm better. You're wrong. Your love is wrong. Your life is wrong. Your relationships are wrong. That when you start there, what happens? No wonder people are fleeing from our church. But not this community, my brothers and sisters. Not this community. We're a community that believes in the grace and the gift and the blessing and the human struggle. We proclaim that. I like that man, Merton. I struggled in my first years, terribly. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know where I was, filled with all kinds of things. And I was arrogant about it, to top it all off. But the human condition and the struggle of life and getting to know people and walking in their shoes and seeing the human heart changes us, doesn't it? Of course it does. So that's the message of that gospel today. And I hope the message of our community of faith. So I'm riding my bike Wednesday morning, right along the bike path. Started off at about 4:30 and got down around there, I don't know, it was 20 to 5, something like that. I was on the path, and it was clear. There was no one out, except a couple of people that I've come to know. And I made the turn at Chautauqua, and I'm coming back, and I noticed there was a person on the bike path. I thought that was unusual, sitting right in the center of the bike path. And as I got closer to this person, I heard the person say, "Don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me." Now she was alone, so I know no one was hitting her. But I gotta tell you, part of my confession of life is that I'm not very good getting involved in those small little fires that people have in life, because I feel it'll take some of my time, or, you know, I've got so many things I'm doing, or, yeah, and I don't want to be troubled by those things. So I pretend like I don't see it. You've never done that, but I do. I pretend like I just didn't see it. I'm so sorry, missed it. But I did see it. And I went around her like I always would do and went on. There's the bike path and there's like an alleyway, and I went to the alley and came back on him. But then I thought to myself, I gotta quit that. It's not a way to live your life. You preach and teach and think about something and you're proclaiming something and then doing the opposite. What good is that? What kind of value is there in that? So I went through the underneath the pier. And I thought about coming back, but I was afraid to come back because I didn't know what I was going to meet. It's early in the morning, it's dark, and I was alone. But I saw a guy there. These trucks are out. They're not lifeguards, but they're like whatever they are. You don't know about it because you don't get up that early. But it's these yellow trucks, and they're checking toilets and checking the. So I said to the guy, "Can I see you a second?" So I got off my bike and I went to him and I said, "You know, just on the other side of the pier, about a block down, there's a woman and she's yelling. Don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. I guess I'm a little nervous going back. Would you mind going back and checking?" He said, "Of course I will." And he went back and he did. Now I say that to you, not because I'm saying, look at me, because in fact, most of the time, I'm like this. But I'm saying that's what we are. We're not only a community that is attempting a real sense of tolerance, we're a community that's trying to help each other along the way. And that's a good thing. A community that cares enough to be out in that park this afternoon. Lots of you were there. Not you, but our community. We celebrated a memorial for 20 people. I've got the list. The guy that attracted me most was Harry One Eye. How about that? 20 of these folks died this year on the streets of Santa Monica. No funeral, no claim, no burial. I guess ultimately a burial, but there they are. So we were out there celebrating with some of the homeless and some of the people, a sending home, a prayer. But we were in the fray of that, and I'm so grateful for that. That's the kind of thing we must do in our community of faith. Yes, we must. So folks, that's all I really want to say tonight. One more little thing, maybe. The lesson is tolerance. Our actions, I hope, are care and love. That's what we must do. And we must continue that right here at St. Monica's. And the only way we can do that is if you continue to help and support us. We're starting next week a brand new era here at St. Monica's, and it's going to be a great day. But they're only buildings. What matters most is what we do, what this community is about. And I need your care and your love and your continued support. And I got to tell you, folks, if I could be honest with you, it's not enough. It takes more than $500 a year from each one of you to make this work. It's not enough. We start with kids. Baptism. We celebrate them with these families. And we do our best to encourage those families to a life of faith. We have a religious education that jams that school every single Sunday. We have a youth ministry program today that filled this church at 1:15, all ready to make confirmation from high schools across this city. This young adult community is the largest young adult community, I'll bet, in the world, in a Roman church. It's an extraordinary thing, but you have needs. You want to get married. You want some counsel. You need retreats. You need to participate in life, and you have struggles and addictions, and that all needs attention. We have families from the poorest of the poor to the wealthiest of the wealthiest, and they're all part of our community, and they need our care and our attention. We are responsible for the spiritual care, the Catholic spiritual care of UCLA Santa Monica Hospital, one of the greatest hospitals in the city. I mean, we're not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. This community has challenges every day in every aspect of life. And we're not doing enough for our poor and our homeless. We aren't. So my brothers and sisters, I need from you your generosity and your care and your support and your love. I hope we have something that we're grateful for. I am. I hope you are. But I especially appeal to you young folks to become fully engaged in the participation in the life of this community by your support. It's the only way that we can continue to grow. I'm finished with the administration. When this building opens next week, it's not only going to be a new life for our community by way of our buildings, I'm going to take up the word of our beloved Pope Francis. He's challenging the church, but he's challenging me. And Francis has said to every pastor across this world, you are shepherds. But shepherds, you've got to smell like your flock. So I want to start smelling like you. That's what I want to do. Mike Mottola can well manage this community. Tom Gasper can oversight those schools. And I want to spend my last couple of years in this community walking with you. I want to be a shepherd. I want to smell like you. When I was over in that park today and I knew one person on that list of 20, I said, shame on you, Lloyd Torgerson. I need to engage in this great community and the life of this community in a new way. So thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the tolerance that has marked our community. Thank you for the care that we continue to give to each other. And my brothers and sisters, I ask you, support that, believe that, and let's grow together. Thank you.